I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick here until 7 o'clock taking your calls. The main talking point so far has been Rangers' late win against Livingston. It was 2-1 in the end. Max Aaron scoring in the 95th minute to give Russell Martin his first league win of the campaign. However, the performance hasn't pleased many Rangers supporters. What did you make of it at home? 0141 951 1025. Still reflecting on yesterday's action as well. Hearts now top of the table. Celtic dropping points at home to Hibs. A big win for Motherwell, their first of the league season, over Aberdeen, who are rooted to the bottom of the table. 0141 951 1025. I told you before the break we were going to hear from Russell Martin. Here's what he had to say on today's game.
Yeah, the first half we deserved to win. Played brilliantly. Some amazing football, should score more goals. As I said, probably the best performance we put in, which we really brought on the Hibs one, which I was pleased with. And then we didn't start the second half well, never really, we didn't control it anywhere near enough. So the gap between the first half and the second was too big. But in the last 20 minutes, we were so dominant in their half, in their final third a lot. Some brilliant performances, we changed the shape, the subs had a big impact for us. And I'm really pleased with the players because they showed how hard they're fighting for each other, for us, for me. And I think that's grown in the last 3 or 4 weeks, that character and resilience they've been developing. And today it paid off. Pitch got sticky, opposition were better, Livingston were better, more aggressive. We have to be able to deal with that in a better way, for sure. The care that they showed each other in the first half with the ball, the level of intensity they played at and moved, some of the football was outstanding, and it just wasn't quite there in the second half. And maybe in the position we've been in, not enough wins for us. I think it's probably different, so maybe it's just a bit of confidence. We couldn't quite gain momentum again, and then the last 20 minutes we did, and as I said, I thought there were some really big performances.
Some of the football was outstanding, Russell Martin says.
Brilliant, he says. In the first half, created all those chances. I must be sitting watching different football from Russell Martin. Listen, I've not got a problem coming out. He's under severe pressure. He may as well come out and be as positive as he possibly can. I thought they did control most of the first half after a good start from Livingston. Majovski misses an absolute sitter. There's not a lot of... OK, Tavernier penalty, can take that into consideration as well. But I didn't look at a Rangers performance and thinking, oh, they're battering the door down every 2 minutes against Livingston here. Second half, I thought Livingston early were a better side. Look, I do agree, and let's not just keep being negative to him. He made the substitutions. He's got to take credit for that. And the substitutions worked. He changed the formation. Okay, you say it didn't work because it came for a set player, whatever. But he still changed it. He made a difference. But for me, if he's walking away from there thinking, yeah, okay, apart from a small part of that game, everything was brilliant, a great character from the players, going forward's got to be really good, but then I think Rangers are in bigger trouble than what I thought they were.
I'd be surprised if he's saying that in the changing room after the game, what he said in the press. I'd be very surprised because the levels were nowhere near where it needs to be for a club like Rangers, for sure. So I think he would have said things privately, which he probably doesn't want to say in the press, because like Gordon said there's only so many times you can come out and batter your players in the press, and he's done it a couple of times, so he's probably protecting them a little bit. But listen, Gordon's right, they won the game, showed good character. Max Aarons, who's been out the picture for a few weeks, this will do him the world of good. He'll now feel like he's part of it, he's got his first goal, he's come on, he's made a difference, so fair play to him.
Isabel is a Rangers fan in Hamilton. Isabel, what are you making of it all?
Yeah, I would just like to ask the question. It's probably never been explained to me, but why did we not give Barry Ferguson the chance when he was having success? He's a Rangers blood through and through. And do we not need somebody to inspire these players? Not take any nonsense from the players. That, you know, Barry said when he first came into the job that he wasn't going to be standing back and taking any nonsense. They had to go out and they had to play. So do we not need somebody like that that's homegrown? You know, even although we need to go back to basics for a wee while, maybe that's what we have to do. But nobody's ever explained why we had to have somebody brought up from England.
You said he found success in charge, Barry Ferguson. You look at his record, he gets 6 wins in 15 games. Russell Martin's got 5 wins in 15 games. I know there's a lot of other circumstances, Barry Ferguson going in the middle of the season, not having a transfer window or a pre-season or anything like that. But did you find that a real successful spell towards the end of last season? Did you feel he warranted the job based on what he did?
I think he did. I think the fans would have been behind him, would have given him the chance. We wouldn't have been any worse than where we are now. He had a backroom staff that were there as well to back him up. And I think, you know, just the fact that he was, you know, Rangers through and through. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I do not know a lot about Russell Martin. Know a little bit about his background, but I don't know what made that the choice to have as a Rangers manager.
Listen, I think Barry, when he came in, was absolutely brilliant for Rangers because he kept his supporters together. If it hadn't been Barry Ferguson, then I think Ibrox would have been empty every second week at the home games, right? I think the Rangers supporters had turned off. Barry came in there, took the hot seat, and I thought he led it well. Going forward, your record there, 6-15, ain't going to get you the Rangers manager's job. I don't care who you are. I think supporters need to get away from, oh, well, you know, he's got Rangers through and through, loves the club, knows the club. I've heard this a million times. I'm sorry, that's not the way for me. If you look at Celtic, nobody knew who Postecoglou was. He walked into the building, all of a sudden Celtic fans loved him. He's not a Celtic supporter. He never played with the club, but he knew how to manage. He knew how to get players in. He knew a market that nobody else had went into. And all of a sudden Celtic were up and running and he was absolutely brilliant. So as much as I do applaud Barry and his staff, because I do think what a job they've done keeping that club together, because the fans do love people like that, sometimes maybe it is a case of looking for a Postecoglou, looking for someone that's just going to come in there and take it in the right direction. I'm not saying that Barry Ferguson's staff couldn't have done that, because I think you made a good point. They didn't have a transfer window to work in. But if you get in there as a temporary manager and you've got 6 wins out of 15, I don't really think, no matter who you are, you're going to end up with the main job.
No, I think part of it, part of what Isabel says is true there, in that I don't think it would have been much worse if it was Barry and in charge. I don't think he would have been doing worse, but I agree with Gordon, all this Rangers man and, you know, got Rangers running through their veins and stuff, it matters nothing. A manager needs to go in there, they need the players to buy into what they want to do right away. If they don't do that, then you're in trouble early on.
Does the fact that Rangers were still pushing towards the end, you saw the passion from Max Aarons when he was running over to the fans celebrating, is that a positive sign for Russell Martin, that it looks as if he, you know, the players are still pushing and playing for him and trying for him?
Of course it is. And this is a guy who hasn't been involved for the last, you know, few weeks. He's been out of the picture. He's been battered pillar to post as Max Aarons. So fair play to him, showing a bit of character. He's got the winner today. He'll probably be a spring in his step when he goes into Murray Park tomorrow. Listen, you've got to, when it ain't going well, you've got to grab onto every single positive that you can, and highlight it. And that's one. The fact that I didn't think Rangers were amazing today, yeah, they might have controlled most of the game, but the fact that they've dug deep in stoppage time and got a winner, it is a positive. Of course it is.
Well, thank you to Isabel. Still 1 hour to take your calls. 01419511025. Lots of calls on that Rangers game, that late winner. Not really making Rangers fans pleased about Russell Martin and the situation ongoing there. We're still to reflect a bit more on Celtic 0, Hibs 0 yesterday. Hearts top of the table. Hearts fans, how does that feel? 01419511025. Motherwell fans must be happy getting that first league win on the board yesterday, and Aberdeen fans, where is going wrong at the moment? What does the future hold for Jimmy Tilleen? 01419511025.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 0141 951 1025.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick here with me, Andrew McLean, taking your calls all the way through until 7 o'clock. So keep them coming, 01419511025. We're trying to keep Gordon DL's mind on the football while the Ryder Cup is on the TV.
Yeah, there's a sort of a similarity of hatred here, not hatred, but booze. McElroy in America and Martin in Livingston, because it's the same chance, I've got to say, but I'm loving the
probably
Ryder
a good
Cup.
Job that Russell Martin's not reacting to the heckles in the same way that I've seen videos of Rory McIlroy doing the weekend.
I bet you deep down inside, I think Russell Martin sometimes would love to react that way.
Yeah, it is currently 12-5 to Europe going into the final singles today. That is because Victor Hovland didn't recover from his injury, so his match against Harris English just goes down as a tie. So Gordon DL will just be watching that for the next hour, but we will be taking your calls on all things Scottish football. Of course, it was a 2-1 win for Rangers today, a late goal from Max Ahrens. Let's hear a bit more from Russell Martin. He feels like today was an important step going forward, and he praised his side's character and resilience.
No, I'd rather be firming up at half time, but yeah, I think it could be a real big moment for us. I feel really good about it in the dressing room. I enjoyed their celebrations together. And as I said to them, we deserve it, but we make it hard for ourselves. The game is always open to interpretation. Mine is, we were brilliant for 45 minutes, and then for 25 minutes in the second half, we showed so much character and resilience. What I've seen in the last few weeks, and when I've been speaking to you guys, is that character and the spirit and the willingness to run and fight for each other has really grown. There's a recovery run when it's 1-1, I think, where I watched 5-6 guys sprint. Nadim, the guys come on, incredible. And we have to celebrate that with the group, because that wasn't quite there at the start of the journey, and they have to keep doing that, and if they keep doing that, we'll win more games.
Is that what Russell Martin needs to take away from today's game? Is he's got away with a victory, but he just needs to try and take any positives he possibly can, and he's saying there that the resilience, the character shown from his team, is that something he can use going forward?
He's got to, because I think Roscoe's right. You can't just keep coming out and beating them with a big stick. Look, I thought they deserved to win it today. Especially, I thought, after 20 minutes of the first half, I thought they controlled it. But the one thing that I'm starting to pick up, and I think Rangers fans do as well, you know, they were chasing back today.
Celebrate
it. So we have to celebrate that as a group. My goodness. That is, he's doing himself no favours with that. Listen, I'm all for him coming out there, backing himself, saying, look, important win. Know how difficult it is away from home. Spells of the game, we really did play well. Created a couple of chances. Showed character at the end. Brilliant. Delighted. Great to get out here with 3 points. Hopefully we can kick on. Not this nonsense, we're watching players running back and we're celebrated as a group. It does you no favours whatsoever.
I do wonder, when he said that they enjoyed the celebrations, whether he just meant when Max Ahrens scored and the players went into the corner and celebrated a winner, rather than it maybe sounded, you know, people would maybe take that as they were celebrating in the changing room afterwards.
Yeah, well, it may be talking about that. And they're quite right. Listen, it's a late winner, it's a relief. And you get that. So, and it was an important goal for Ahrens, because I think a lot of people, and I will put my hand up here and say I'm one of them, I no idea why he was brought to the club. I don't see anything in him. So he'd a point to prove. He come on off the bench today and he's got that crucial winner for Rangers. So he's entitled to go and celebrate with the supporters. No problem whatsoever with that.
But you know why Russell Martin said that there, don't you? That's him making a point, as if to say they're still working for me, they're still running for me here. Otherwise, there's no other reason to talk about that. You can't celebrate. I mean, that is that's the foundations of Rangers and Celtic. That's a bare minimum. It's people running hard and running back. It's bare minimum stuff.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. We might hear a bit more from Russell Martin shortly and from David Martindale, what he made of that game. Adam is a Rangers fan in St Andrews. Adam, what did you take away from today's performance?
It's bad to say this, but I felt deflated when we scored the winner. I just felt like it just gave an excuse to say that things are getting better, we're improving. But I don't know if you were listening to the game, but on Sky Sports you could hear Russell Martin constantly shouting for the players to go to JB. JB, JB, Jack Butland. And then he's applauding as if it's great play. It's three passes back and he's like, it's just so frustrating.
Is it genuinely at that point, Adam, that you weren't that happy when Rangers scored the last minute winner because it meant Russell Martin would stay in a job?
I've never felt like that, and I genuinely felt deflated, and I was actually happy that the fans made it clear that it's still not good enough.
I said that earlier, and I don't think... do you know what? I'm delighted Adam's come on. He's been up front on his Rangers support. Very difficult thing to admit, right? Because you go, I'm there to support my team. I've supported them all my life, but I feel bad that I'm thinking, don't score a winner here because we want the manager out. The one thing right here now, and this is the sad thing about it, Adam's not alone with their thoughts. I bet there's a lot of Rangers fans inside that ground thinking the exact same thing because they only want this manager removed. And if he wins games like that and he comes out with his presser after it and we played brilliant, I just don't see where this is going to end for Rangers.
I just wonder when Adam said there about you can hear him shouting JB, JB. I'm hoping that it's, you know, we got it wrong and he was actually shouting JD, Gassama. Get him on the ball as quickly as possible and not go back to the goalkeeper again. Easy mistake, isn't it?
Adam.
But then when it was going back to the defender, he was applauding as if it was great play. Like it happened multiple times up towards half time. And then into the second half, and you could see that we were being more and more negative. And any Rangers fan that watches us now knows that Livingston is going to get chances and probably equalise. But it's just everything's annoying me now. Every time he fixes his hair, it's annoying me. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the point. He's now at the point where he can't win.
Anyway.
He actually won today, but that's not going to do anything for a lot of Rangers fans who have their minds made up.
You're in a bad place when fans are criticising your hair, criticising that you wore a pair of glasses into a press conference, talking about your clothes that you're wearing, the way you perform. It's all about results for Rangers. It's all about getting that team on the pitch, being up there. Rangers fans were excited with the takeover, thought it was at least all the dark days, all the bad days were behind them. They've got to move forward, they've got to build and be that club that they were once again. But the biggest problem is they don't want a manager. Mm-hmm. They really don't want, and they didn't, a big percentage didn't want him at the beginning. And when that happens, the only way Russell Martin could have turned their supporters was hitting the ground running, getting results, people going along there and saying, we have an identity of how the style he's playing, how he's going to play. We're going to enjoy this. I'll take time. He's brought in new players. It's all backfired. And today, in the 90th minute, he must have, and you've seen his reaction. We were watching the telly. He was ready to punch the dugout. No wonder. I'd have done the same myself. Not blame. But the relief that goal went in for him was incredible because I don't think he could have survived a 1-1 today.
I was just about to go back to Adam there, but I think he's disappeared. But from what Adam was saying, like what would it possibly take for Russell Martin to be able to turn around the opinion of some of these Rangers fans, the majority of Rangers fans? How many wins would Russell Martin need to get in a row before that started to change?
Well, listen, I think it's went that far now that even if he goes on a run and starts to win games, I think Rangers fans would still find something else to pick on. It will then be, yeah, he's won six in a row, but you know, he's not battering teams, he's not dominating teams 4-0, 5-0 every week, which we expect. I think they'll always just because they don't want him that much, they're always going to find a stick to beat him with. So in terms of a number of wins, I think he's he's under pressure now any game that he doesn't win.
Yeah, I'll be interested. Look, the only thing that he can look at, he's in a semi-final. He's up against Celtic at Hampden. And Celtic fans aren't happy with the way things are going at their club this moment in time. So, semi-final, could he go and win that? I wouldn't probably predict that just now, but he could. And then you've got St Mirren and Motherwell. You're probably getting favourites, wouldn't you, to the final if you could get over the hurdle of Celtic. Would that go a little bit? Maybe getting a bit of silverware in the cabinet early. But just now, there's no evidence of that, Andrew. That is the big thing that's sticking in everybody's throat. There's no evidence this is going to get better. See, if fans could see sort of a light at the end of the tunnel, they would stick in there, because they've had a lot of hard times before. And if they thought that Russell Martin, yes, it's coming good, we're seeing progress, it's taking a bit of time, but they're not seeing that. And then they're having to listen to Russell Martin coming out and trying to pull the wool over their eyes. And that's where the problem is.
I think that's a big thing. I think that is the big thing in the press conferences. I really do, when he talks about the hurt and pain that's gone before all the time and the togetherness and celebrating, chasing back and stuff. It's just not helping him whatsoever.
01419511025. Keep those calls coming, whether it is Russell Martin, whether it is the Rangers game today. Maybe you want to reflect on some of yesterday's action, because there was a lot that happened then. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers, shall we, on that goalless draw with Hibs. He praised the side's performance despite lacking an attacking threat.
I think in terms of performance, I think the players done really, really well. I think if you look at all the metrics in the game, created big chances in the game, moved the ball really well, pitch was fantastic, and our only downside today was that killer touch in the box. You have to give credit to Hibs. You had so many players defending the box, and the keeper, as you were talking to, has made some great saves, and the guys made some really good blocks, so you have to give credit also to them. But I can't be displeased with the performance. You know, Celtic, you always want to win, and you want to win well. And if we get one of those opportunities in the first half, it just opens the game up. So it was very similar to games that we had here last year against Hibs. Really dominant, lots of opportunities. Only difference today, we just didn't quite take the opportunities.
Is trying to work out his best front three and how to kind of fix that puzzle, is that a big thing for Brendan Rodgers in the next few weeks? Because it's changed. Tonekti's come in, has looked very good. Kelechi Iheanacho, does he look like he's going to be the number nine going forward? What happens with Daizen Maeda? There's quite a lot of questions for Brendan Rodgers to work out, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that Celtic have got problems of their own, and I think Celtic fans are first to admit that. I do agree. I think that they did play well yesterday in spells. They created a lot of chances, just didn't have the killer touch. I think their biggest problem now is the right-hand side, because they're overloaded with left-hand wingers on the left-hand side. Maeda was player of the year by a country mile last year. I probably wouldn't be first picked just now. And he's tried them on the right yesterday, and it didn't really work for him. He didn't get a lot of the ball. He substituted his front three yesterday, made those changes. Yeah, the Celtic have still got a bit of work to do. As much as they're okay in the league, they're now disappointed yesterday against a Hibs team that came, and they were there for a point, got the point. Well done to David Gray. Sometimes you've just got to do that. Play ugly, try and get a point, get out of Celtic Park. Over the moon with that. But I still believe that Celtic have a bit to go before Celtic fans are sitting there nice and easy thinking, yeah, we're going to canter the league this year.
Kelechi Iheanacho, wasn't his day in front of goal yesterday, but positive early signs overall in his Celtic career, would you say? A couple of goals already, some chances yesterday. Always good that a striker is getting chances anyway.
Yeah, listen, the goals and that little final touch will come. I know he scored a good goal midweek. But what's more impressive for me is, I've said for a little while now, Celtic need a number nine who can take the ball in and actually hold it and release the pass, the layoff at the right time. Iheanacho's got bags of experience. He's a good player, great touch. Listen, the goals will come for him. It's just a matter of getting in that rhythm, regular games, regular minutes. And also, just on the right hand side, I know it is a bit of a problem just now, but I think anyone who goes and plays on out on the right hand side will be a better player as soon as Alistair Johnson comes back.
See a big miss, do you feel, in just the Celtic system?
Massive, yes. The runs that he makes to create space for the wingers to get the ball alone, that underlap inside, he's a phenomenal player. So anyone playing in front of him will always look better with him behind them.
What do you think happens this week, Braga, on Thursday in that right back position between Ralston and Colby Donovan? Does Anthony Ralston keep his place from this weekend, or do you think Colby Donovan goes back in?
Are you asking what I would do or what I think Brendan Rodgers would do? Because I feel as if they're two different things.
Okay, tell me both.
So the first one, what I would do is I would have Donovan back in. But I think for the level of experience that Ralston's got, I think Brendan Rodgers will opt for Ralston.
I agree. I think young Donovan waited for his opportunity. Obviously, Johnston, Ralston injured. He's probably third choice. He's come in. I thought he's grasped it brilliantly. I was a bit surprised, and I know the reasons why. It's the old, well, he's not played a lot of football at this level. We're going to manage him. I've heard all this before. Sometimes I think it's nonsense, right? But they're professionals, and that's what their job, and they get paid the big money to make those decisions. I think Donovan was brilliant the other night there. I like the look of him. I think he's risen to the challenge of playing first-team football. Doesn't look out of place for me at all. Then you've got the added advantage that Ralston, he's played over 100 games for Celtic, Scottish internationals, good, honest pro, never lets the club down. But I just like that youth, I like that freshness coming in there. Me personally, I'd like to see Donovan in the team.
That silent protest started yesterday as well. It is to escalate, happen in the next couple of games. Brendan Rodgers spoke about that yesterday, saying he wants to focus on the action on the pitch and he wants fans to leave the game talking about the team's performances.
I can only focus on the football. That's the challenge for me at the moment, you know, is to give the supporters that belief and hope that we will continue to improve, and I think the performance today, they would have liked that. Obviously they'd love to have won the game, and I want people to be coming away talking about the football and the performance rather than the protests and the silence, but I think the players reacted really well to it, and after that 12th minute you really felt the support and the lift, and which can make the difference.
Is that something you feel can have a big impact on the game? It may even be more telling come Thursday, Celtic at home on a European night against Braga. I think the silence, it was 12 minutes yesterday, I think it's maybe to go up to 29 minutes.
What's
the significance of 29? Yeah. I think it's to do with days of a letter that was sent to the Celtic board, how many days it had been, you know, not responded to, something along those lines. But I think 29 for the next game and then potentially 32 for the game after that. But 29 minutes of silence, half an hour of silence in a European game. I know it won't be every single supporter in the stadium, but it's a collective group of fan groups, essentially.
Yeah.
So there's going to be quite a lot of people taking part in it. Could that have an impact, do you feel, on Thursday?
Well, for the away team, it's going to help them, isn't it? Because you know what Celtic Park, Ibrox like now, European night, the atmosphere's incredible. And if they thought they were the 12th man in the Scottish Premiership, they absolutely are when it comes to European nights. So I think Braga going there, I think it'll be music to their ears, going there and playing in front of, you know, a silent Celtic Park.
I've got absolutely no problem in supporters protesting. They pay hard-earned cash. They've every right to voice, to have a voice, and obviously go out there, and if they don't like the way things are going, quite right to, in the right way, of course, we're saying that. But 29 minutes of silence, I'm sorry, is nonsense for me. It's absolute nonsense. A 12 minutes silence, nonsense. I get the 12 man, I really liked that, I thought it was creative, I thought it was brilliant, but 29 minutes of silence, and Roscoe's right. You're against the board, you're not against your players. Your players want the support, your players want that back, and they want to hear you. They want to play off that adrenaline of the fans, and they're trying to get the fans.
Is the point in the protest that it's meant to be impactful, though?
Do you think that the board have got to sit there and really concern themselves with 29 minutes of silence? I don't think it will. I think there's other ways of protesting, right? I really do. And I'm, as I say, I'm with Celtic fans here. I think they're every right. I think the transfer window was really, really poor, and I think that there's a lot of aspects of the club they're not happy with. They're the guys that go week in, week out. They pay their money, and it's a lot of money to go and follow a football team now. So I'm totally with them. But I just don't buy the silence. I'm sorry. I think there's better ways of doing it.
Barry is a Celtic fan on the line. We will speak to him next, and we will hear more from Russell Martin.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Still time to get your calls in to Gordon DL and Ross McCormick on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are here until 7 o'clock. We're going to hear a bit more from Russell Martin and from David Martindale shortly, but let's speak to Barry, who is a Celtic fan on the line. Barry, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
All good, all good.
Just basically, yesterday's performance against Hibs, I just think Celtic are a one-trick pony now. I don't mean to be that, this is not a knee-jerk reaction to a bad result. I watched it against Kilmarnock, I've watched it all season. We're really, really struggling to break teams down. We're passing in front, we're going right to left in front of two banks of five most of the time to break down teams. Not every goal has to be a work of art, a work of football and art, you know what I mean? It can easily just be start trying to go a bit more direct, mix it up a bit, because teams know exactly how to play against us now. Every single game I've watched, even to a point the Aberdeen game at Pittodrie, teams knew how to play against Celtic, and I think that's going to be a detriment to Celtic's season.
That lack of goals, that lack of cutting edge that Barry's talking about, if you look at the league table and you look at goals scored up to this point, where most teams have played six, a couple of teams have played seven, Celtic have scored 8 goals in mm-hmm. 6 games. Hearts have scored 15, Motherwell have scored 9, Dundee United have scored 11, Hibs have scored 10, Kilmarnock have scored 9, Livingston have scored 9.
Yeah, but Barry's right. Teams that go to Celtic Park and play against Celtic play a completely different way than they do against the Hearts and Motherwell, where they open up a little bit. If these teams went to Celtic Park and played like they do against each other, they would get done 4 or 5.
Celtic are just, they have better players than the rest of the teams, so they should.
Do you know how difficult it is to play when there's teams that have got no interest and they just sit 10 players behind the ball? Do you know how difficult
but
it is?
But that's been the same for years and years, though, in Celtic. Outscore teams in the league pretty much every single season.
Yeah, but
so it's not. That's a different situation.
Yeah, your big argument's simple here. Barry's saying that teams have found out how to play against Celtic, right? I think teams for years know how to play against Celtic, but you're right. Doesn't matter how to play against Celtic. Celtic had better players in the way they played, in the way they moved their ball, and the ball, how quick they moved it, and the players that would put you out of position and then find the gap with the killer pass and everything. The difference now is Celtic aren't doing that. You know what I mean? You look at even Celtic, and everybody talks about their big strength in the middle of the park. I don't think Celtic have hit anywhere near the heights in the middle of the park this season either. Right, now that's not to say, you can look at they're in the semi-final of the first trophy, they're sitting there in second, they've only lost what, one goal in the league so far, so it's not a big bad picture, but it's not as good as what Celtic fans are used to. And you see yesterday the change of the front three. I think if you'd have said that in the summer, people would have said absolutely no chance, that's who Brendan Rodgers will be replacing our front three. We'll be stronger, it'll be better players, competition for places. And I think that's where the problem is. I don't think it's all down to people know how to play against Celtic. Well, every manager would have a game plan knowing how to play against Celtic. Celtic has had better players, faster players. Midley Park was brilliant. The fullbacks up and down, everything about them. When Taylor played, inverted fullbacks causing problems, overloads in the Midley Park. Some players, because they weren't good enough, just couldn't handle that. You knew how to play against them, but sometimes it just didn't happen.
Barry, do you think any of it comes down to potential teething problems at the start of a new season when the transfer window was a bit turbulent, or is it maybe a longer term, or do you see it possibly being a longer term issue?
I can definitely see it being a longer term issue. Like, I totally get, I totally respect what the guys are saying on the panel. Like, I know how hard it is to play against a team that I just can't win. I get it, you know, and sometimes, you know, you've got to come up with things. But for me, you're talking about the midfield three. That's a poorer midfield three I've seen since our Ronnie Dyla came. And I'm not digging at McGregor here because he's been a great captain for us, but it's been a really disappointing season. And I just feel like when the engine room's not working, the rest of the team's not working. I don't think that three of Hatate, McGregor and Nygaard worked particularly well. I didn't think yesterday's worked great. I don't really think he knows his best midfield three. I don't think he knows his best up front three. Balak Wisher, I mean, he's crying that he's a left winger, but he's playing out on the right. You know, so I'm a bit perplexed as to how Celtic go forward, to be honest.
See the thing you're saying there, right? You look at just now, I totally agree. I think that McGregor is, and he still is a brilliant footballer, let's not be kiddied here, but he's off it this season, right? He's not dominating games the way we're used to Callum McGregor, but he sets the bar so high in past seasons. So times you go off the ball. If you look at Celtic overall, Alistair Johnson, and I agree with Roscoe, massive miss, right? Brings so much to Celtic. McGregor not firing. Maeda was player of the year last year. Brilliant. Everybody was frightened of him, whether he played in the left-hand side or played through the middle. He was a constant threat. They've lost Jota, a fantastic player. That's a big chunk of your talent out your team. And you've got to get people to step up. And just now, I don't think Celtic have enough quality in that team to step up if these guys are off it. I think guys like McGregor and that have carried Celtic because of the way they lead and everybody's just fitted in. And he's a big part of it. Johnston down the right-hand side. The problem now is the right-hand side, because you're right, if Johnston's back there, the guy in the right-hand side will probably be a better player because of the runs, everything he makes. Maeda's not kicked a ball from the start of the season.
Hatate's a big one for
me this season. Another one, yeah. He's off it as well. That's another big, big major player for you. And obviously the injury, this bad injury to Jota. So there's a big gap there that I think's not been filled with Celtic.
Who do you think the blame lies at then, Barry? Is it to do with the players? Is it more the manager? Is it to do with the not having the transfer window that Brendan Rodgers wanted?
I mean, you could say it was it's a mixture of all three. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get, you know, the scattergun out and blame one person. I mean, personally, the transfer window was disappointing. Our name was bandied about across Europe as being low ballers and stuff like that. A number of teams slagged us off for how we do business. But I also think that coaching, I've seen the boy Donovan coming through. I'd love to see more kind of young players given a chance, because I think they're capable. That we signed this boy Yamada, I don't see the point in that either. There's another striker that's just fallen off the face of the earth. The boy from Man City, the centre back, fallen off the face of the earth as well. So a lot of things just don't join up for me, and I just feel like there's certain people on the Celtic board and the Celtic management team, we're pulling in different directions, of course, and the fans as well, because the fans are upset. So a divided house can't conquer, you know. It's just a recipe for disaster, and unfortunately, the results will prove this, I think.
It's an interesting point Barry makes about some of the recruitment there with Shin Yamada, who was brought in. Brendan Rodgers didn't seem, you know, too enthusiastic about the signing, is that fair to say, when it initially happened? And he came in, played a couple of games, has been out of it again. Hayato Inamura came in, played a couple of games, has been playing for the B team of late as well. Was it Callum Osmond was brought in from Fulham? There was chat that he was meant to be coming in as part of the first team fold. He's been playing for the B team as well. Jamai Simpson-Pusey is a baffling one. He played, what was it, 6 or 8 games for Manchester City last season. Some of them substitute appearances, but was in and about the Manchester City squad, made some appearances, can't make the bench for Celtic. So as much as Brendan Rodgers has talked about not maybe getting the quality he wanted, there's also been signings made that aren't getting anywhere near the bench.
Yeah, do you know something? Barry's mentioned players there and I totally forgot about them. I've got to be honest with you, right? But I think Barry's hit the nail on the head by saying that the recruitment, Brendan Rodgers and the board, there's a split there, because that's a few players there that you'd expect to be at least on the bench, right? You're not seeing these players, which tells you that Brendan Rodgers certainly, well, if he did want them, he's got it all wrong. But it tells me that Brendan Rodgers didn't want any players, and he's decided I'm not having anything to do with them. And all of a sudden, Celtic have left with these players that people are saying, where are they? Playing with the B team. And the money that they must be costing.
Inamura is a strange one for me, because any time I've seen him play, I thought he's been great. And then obviously the manager clearly doesn't fancy him. But from what I've seen, he's definitely good enough to be a backup on the left without them going out and spending more money on the boy Sarachi. Yeah, that was a bit of a needless signing considering Inamura was already there. I can understand.
I think he played pretty well though yesterday, Sarachi. Got some good reviews.
But for what?
But
for
you feel Inamura could have potentially feel so he's capable of that type of performance.
They could have saved money on Sarachi. Yamada, I can understand why Brendan doesn't fancy him, to be honest. I don't think he's looked up to much at all. I can understand that one. But even the young boy like Osman coming up from Fulham and stuff, not having a sniff, getting sent to the B team. These boys must be a wee bit bewildered. They're coming up to a big, massive club, and all of a sudden, very early on, you realise that it's not the manager that signed you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't feel great, can it?
No. And listen, I think Brendan Rodgers won't be alone. That's the way modern day football is now going. The manager is basically there to be head coach. The recruitment do everything, and you'll probably have a slight say in it. I thought Brendan Rodgers would have probably had more control of it. But this season seems to be that split, and I think that's where the problem is, and that's where the problem is with supporters as well, i.e. hence the fact that they're protesting with silence now. So it tells you everything at Celtic Park isn't just quite right, and you just wonder how that'll all resolve itself.
Well, thank you to Barry. A few interesting points raised there. Still time to get calls in, 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more from Russell Martin. He was speaking about the sort of general league table, the fans' reaction, and going straight up the tunnel at full time.
I think we're hunting a lot of teams at the moment. It's not just about one team. We have to really hunt and be so hungry and desperate, win and make sure we're where we want to be at the end of the season. So today's a big step for us, I think, and we need to use that as a catalyst to kick on. I can't control it, and I can't waste energy focusing. I have to use all my energy for the players and the staff inside the building and to try and improve us and to win more games. And hopefully, if we do that, hopefully everyone will be happy. So it's why I went down the tunnel after, because the players deserve to enjoy it. So it's not about me at that point, so I could enjoy it, and I had to wait for them in the dressing room.
Yeah, Russell Martin talking there about having to try and shut out the noise. There were more chants today from supporters against him. That can't be easy though, standing on the touchline trying to shut that out and do your job while all that's going on.
I've been there at a lower scale, and it isn't, let me tell you, it's not nice. And I hate hearing it to anybody, because it's nothing worse. You stand there doing and try to do your job to the best of your ability, whether people believe you're good at it or not. There's a sort of line, you know what I mean? There's a sort of line there. But where I'm listening to Russell Martin now, I'm just getting the impression that he separated himself from the fans, basically, if you know what I mean. And I know that it is hurtful for him, because his family's there as well, and there've been protests outside Ibrox. And we heard the chants before we come into the studio, come through the TV. It's not nice at all when you're sitting there taking that. Okay, I think he was right to just go up there, but it sounds like a guy that's going, do you know what? Can't control that, so I'm not going to bother with it. I don't want to mend it. I'm not interested in that. I'm just going to focus on my job and these players in here and hope that somewhere down the line I'll turn. It won't. You've got to go and face that. And Rangers fans probably would respect you more if you're out there and you just got the shoulders back, took it on the chin, and it is hard to do, but showed a bit of strength to say, right, okay, I know you're angry. I know you don't want
But surely here. Anything, we've already established that literally anything Russell Martin does but at the moment is going to anger Rangers supporters.
Yeah,
so the only thing that is going to turn around the opinions, if he can do it, is by winning games. So surely if he wins today's game, goes down the tunnel, it's probably the right option, isn't it? But he's got to try and heal that.
I know it's difficult, Andrew. It is difficult because they're talking about his hair, they're talking about his glasses, everything. They don't want him, right? But listen to his interview there. It sounds to me that he's given up on that effort to say, do you know what? This is going to be a real hard road for me, but I need to try. And you're right, by winning games.
So what would you have said he was meant to do? Is he meant to go out and applaud the fans after the game and go down the tunnel?
I think what he does is let his players go, even if he stands 5 yards on the pitch. Even if he stands five on the pitch, to say, my players were great. He thought they were brilliant today. Players were brilliant today. On yous go. I'll just let yous go and take the... applaud the supporters, thanks for their support. Look, I've probably done it the same myself, right? I'd have probably ran up the tunnel and shouting and swearing. Of course he would. But I'm thinking that he's got a massive job to sort of close that gap. He might never able to do it, but I think when he comes out with things that he's saying, if I was a supporter, I'd be thinking to myself, you're not interested in us, right? And as much as it is hard for the criticism, and I totally understand, because he's got feelings like everybody else, even that, just stand out there for 5 wee minutes and then just get your players and shake their hands, they're walking off, show them that you're part of it as well, and then up the tunnel you go.
See, the thing is, Gordon, see if he does that, then that would have been wrong as well.
And yeah, people would criticise that.
He should be coming over to us and he should be doing this, he should be doing that. He can't win. See if you take it like in a sort of personal level as well. I just can't imagine, you know, what his life's like off the pitch just now. He can't leave the house, can you? Can you imagine him leaving the house and being able to take his kids out and go a nice walk and stuff without getting all this abuse? I think he's in a real, real tough spot at the minute, is Russell.
Final chance to get your calls in, 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Into the final part of a busy Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots of calls on Rangers' late win against Livingston earlier on. A lot of fans still not happy about the performance levels. We've been speaking about Celtic's goalless draw with Hibs yesterday. Let's take a look at some of the other Premiership matches from yesterday that we haven't touched on. A really good 3-0 win for Hearts at home to Falkirk, top of the table. An absolute screamer from Kizaridis. It's all looking good for Derek McInnes and Hearts right now.
Yeah, it's all looking good, and they've still probably got other players to come into the team as well. In such a good place, but you felt they were capable, especially with them going and getting Derek McInnes in the summer. And one of the first things he does is convinces Lauren Shankland that his future's still at Hearts, and you know he's back in the goals, he's back playing well. I expect to see him back in the Scotland squad soon as well. They're in such a good place at the minute, Hearts.
Is that maybe an underrated thing this season, that we'll get on to the recruitment and Jamestown analytics and all that type of stuff, but Derek McInnes getting the best out of the players that were already there as well? You talk about Lauren Shankland, had a season last season where, you know, he was playing a sort of different position almost, only got 9 goals all season. He's already on 7 this campaign in just 10 games.
I must admit, I was watching him last season and it was actually hurting me where he was playing. He was playing as a number 10 behind 2 strikers. I mean, everyone knows, you take one look at Lauren Shankland, he's a striker. His touch is great, his link-up play is great. Finishing, he's probably, he's the best finisher in Scotland. So it was hurting me watching him, but seeing him back in the form that he's in just now, he looks really happy. He actually looks fitter to me as well, to be fair. He looks quite trim in that, so he's obviously had a good summer. And it's good to see.
But you know, Ross, at the start of the season, that first goal for you is so important. Gives you that sort of a confidence and you've got it under your belt. A new manager's come in. He's probably working differently under him, playing his preferred position. He is a striker. He's an out-and-out striker and a very good one at that. I think Derek done a great bit of business there, convincing him to stay there. He's getting the best out of him. He will score goals. And what he's done is, you only can score goals if the other players create them for you. And the system's got to fit your striker as well. And it seems to be working perfectly just now for Hearts.
But see on Shankland, see the one, sorry Andrew, is the Scotland squad one for me. See, I just can't get my head around how he's not had more minutes, more opportunities. For me, even with the strikers that are in the squad just now, if you're needing a goal, I know who I'm turning to on the bench. Mm. It's Lawrence Shankland.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, he's hinting a bit for him. Will he be included in this squad? You wonder if Steve Clark's obviously... Well, he should be taking notice because we need all the best players we can. So that'll be interesting in the coming weeks.
Yeah, Falkirk as well. Not the result they would have wanted, but tough going to Tynecastle.
I listened to John McClinton's interview after a game, and I love John, very honest, very straight up. Him and Paul Smith, brilliant. They've been great at Falkirk. I think it's got to be a long season for Falkirk. You know, they showed great character against Hibs, 2-0 down at home. They come back and they got the draw. They play some lovely football, they really do. John's been brilliant there. But see, because of it's the Premier League, the squad that they're carrying, I think it's got to be a difficult season for Falkirk this year.
First league win of the season for Kilmarnock as well. That's a big one for them.
Yep, and tipped.
Tipped by Gordon DL yesterday.
By Gordon DL, yeah. What a shout that was. I waited on Dundee United, didn't see it coming, but thoroughly deserved, I heard. Listen, I've had a good start. I was a little bit worried about Kilmarnock. Not even just because of the amount of players that they lost in the summer, but in terms of the actual players that they lost, you know, they were proper first-team players. Leaders probably within that dressing room as well, so... You know, I was a little bit worried at the start of the season, but they've started okay, Kilmarnock. They are seventh, I think, probably in goal difference ahead of the Rangers right now.
Yep.
So I think Mr. Kettwell will be happy with the start.
Yeah, David Friel was covering that game for us yesterday and was saying that Kilmarnock were playing some really good stuff at times, which, you know, away to an informed under United team is not easy anyway. But you look back to, you know, Stuart Kettlewell's time at Motherwell, and that was an accusation thrown at him that the fans didn't like the style of football, despite the fact that, you know, results were okay, but by all accounts playing some really nice stuff yesterday.
Yeah, it's a good result, because it's okay me saying, right, I fancy Kilmarnock. A lot of people would have probably had Dundee United down as firm favourites, especially at home, especially after beating Aberdeen and the start that they've got off to. And Jim's recruited quite a good squad up there, a lot of talented players. This is one of those leagues, I think, that right now, at the beginning of it, 6-7 games in, there are no surprise results for me. You know what I mean? There's teams there. You look at St Mirren. How good have they been? They've been absolutely brilliant, sitting in third place. Would we have imagined that Rangers were sitting in eighth after 6-7 games? Would you imagine Aberdeen were sitting bottom of the league with no wins and no goals? It's a very sort of a strange start to a Scottish season. But I think it leaving itself out throughout it, because there's a lot of games and a lot of points to be played for.
Yeah, Jim Goodwin was saying about that performance that he felt quite a lot of players just didn't hit the level that he knows they're capable of. He'll be hoping with, you know, some of the performances they've put in this season that will just be a blip for them, and they'll come back out next week and show more of what they have done in the earlier stages of the campaign.
Yeah, listen, there's some good players in there, Dolchik alike, but if you're being brutally honest, and it's not, I'm not having a dig at Dundee United, but if they had the consistency levels to play like they have done every single week, then they probably wouldn't be at Dundee United. So you've just got to accept that sometimes they're going to have an off day. But they've started the season fantastically as well. I agree with Gordon. It's such an open league this year. No results are going to take you by surprise. And it's good to see it. For me, especially with Hearts being up there top of the league as well, I think it's great for Scottish football.
You touched on St Mirren there, Gordon. Not a classic, but a 1-0 win at home to Dundee. There was no Mark O'Hara, no Keanu Backus, but players been able to go in there, fill in those roles. Marcus Fraser's injured as well, who's a big player for them. That'll be a positive sign for Stephen Robinson, that with key players out, they've maybe got a bit more depth, not in terms of numbers. They don't carry a large squad, but they've maybe just got more quality to call on from the bench than they had previously.
Stephen Robinson's not going to apologise for not being a classic. It's all about a home win. And sometimes there's different ways to get that home win. Yeah, it's great if you can entertain the crowd and get the 3 points. But the most important thing is, especially at the beginning of the season, 3 points. They're already... get a good opportunity along with Motherwell to get to the first cup final. That'll be a great, great game, I've got to say. So, sitting third in the league, a fantastic job. I like the way he goes about his business. He gets the players that suits his style of football. They go and play it and they get their rewards. And once again, they've got off to a good start.
Yeah, Killian Phillips with a goal. He was really, really good yesterday. He will surely have a big role to play for St Mirren this season. Just reflecting on that later game again in a bit more detail. From a Motherwell perspective, first of all, because a lot of the focus will be on Aberdeen, just given where they are in the table, the fact that they still haven't scored a league goal. Motherwell did need that win though, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just as further evidence to show that things are moving in the right direction, because a lot of good football, a lot of positivity, but just to get that evidence, that win, that 3 points that Jens Bertolaskou maybe allows them to now try and kick on.
Yeah, if I'm a bit biased here, I think they deserve to get the 3 points, Andrew, because they've stuck to their principles. It's easy to, when you start and you've got this principle, we've got to play for the back, we've got to play football, we've got to put a bit of pressure on our players to be brave, and it's just draw after draw after draw. You're thinking, oh, hold on a minute here, it might be wrong. Stuck by it. Look, it was two goals late on in the game in injury time, but it doesn't matter. It was all about winning. As I said about St Mirren, Motherwell are sitting fourth. They're in a semi-final, great opportunity to get to a final, playing great football. Fans are loving it. Crowds are coming back out again. So that was a brilliant result for Motherwell.
It's just crazy looking at their results. One win, five draws from six. It's a crazy record, but a lot of good football in that. And Motherwell fans will be hoping that this is just the start of something, if he's been able to implement his style successfully so quickly.
Yeah, and this win just further enhances the work that he's done. But who would have thought, the good football that Motherwell have played in the first five games of the season, and then all of a sudden the first one that they get is because of a goalkeeping calamity. You wouldn't have thought that. But no, I think he's absolute breath of fresh air, Bertolaskou, for sure, the way he's got them playing. It just sort of further highlights. People say, oh, managers need time, they need time. He's ripped everything up and he's done this in the space of, 2 months, so it can be done, and fair play to him.
What does the future hold for Jimmy Tilleen?
I do believe that the Aberdeen board will stick by him just now. I don't think the fans are. I think the fans are slowly but surely turning. But I think he's got a lot of support inside the corridors at Pittodrie. I thought there was a bit of more hope there yesterday if you're a Don supporter, because at times they played well. They've got good players. The worrying thing is they've not scored a goal. And that would be a real problem for anyone looking at it. You can say, well, hold on a minute, we're maybe losing 3-2 defensively, we need to tighten up a little bit. You're not scoring a goal and you have got firepower, so that's a big problem. Coming weeks are going to be really important for him. He can't keep living off the back of a Scottish Cup win. As simple as that. His record since January is absolutely dreadful and there's no getting away from it. He needs to start getting points.
These games in the lead up to the international break is going to be massive for Jimmy Tilleen, because if he doesn't get a win, he doesn't pick up, I think sad to say that the writing's on the wall.
We've seen it before with managers as well, that getting into Europe can sometimes end up proving to be a bit of a curse as well, because if things aren't going well domestically and then you go into a midweek game in Europe and you get some tough results in there as well, it can just compound what's already going badly for you and make it look even worse, can't
it?
Even if it's tough games, Shakhtar Donetsk have a huge budget compared to Aberdeen, they'll have a lot of quality players, but if they go and lose that game, it just adds another bit of negativity, doesn't it?
It's a competition he could do without right now, because you can pick up, travelling as well takes out you. You can pick up injuries and stuff like that. They're in trouble. Let's not be kidded here. I know it's early, but they're in trouble.
What a busy weekend of Scottish football, Scottish action. That late 2-1 win for Rangers against Livingston today, but it doesn't seem to have pleased many of the Rangers supporters, who still show their anger towards Russell Martin. Celtic dropping points to Hibs yesterday, Hearts leapfrogging them with that 3-0 win over Falkirk. Jimmy Tilleen's Aberdeen still rock bottom of the table, not a goal scored in the Premiership this campaign, but first wins of the league season for Motherwell and Kilmarnock, and a good win for St Mirren as well. And the guys will be back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock to look back on it all and to look ahead to a busy week of European action as well. Thank you to Gordon DL, thank you to Ross McCormack in the studio, thank you to you at home for listening in, watching on the live stream, for calling in and getting involved on social media. And up next, it's Gary Spence with his Sunday Anthems.